51 years ago, this year, my bride became my wife. And that was a glorious day. And of course, she, in one sense, she will always be my bride. But today, when I introduce her as my wife, because the wedding was long ago. And even though, as I say, she will always be my bride, she is my wife. And that's how I would introduce her even today. Well, we come to a text today in the book of Revelation in chapter 21 where we are introduced to the wife of the Lamb. That's the theme for our message this morning from the Word of God. And as you can see from your bulletin, New Jerusalem is the Lamb's wife. That's exactly what the text says. Let's look again at verse 9 of Revelation chapter 21. And we read, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" And that's exactly who we are. We are the wife of the Lamb. We could use a lot of other terminology here, but I think it's best to just stick to what the Bible says, because if we don't, we will get ourselves into trouble. So let's stick right to what the Bible says. And there are four stops that we want to make here in coming to an understanding of what it means to be the wife of the Lamb. He said to me, "Come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the city of Jerusalem, or the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." And my translation puts a period here. And I think that's a good place to put a period. Having the glory of God. Well, what is this glory? We're about to find out. It's described to us in more detail. But the word itself means the light, the effulgence, the shining of a light. And that's exactly what the New Jerusalem is all about. The light emanates from the city. It doesn't shine on the city, it comes from the city. And as we will discover, and we're going to get more details, so if the Lord tarries, you'll get those details in the next few weeks of our study together. Be patient, we're going to get there. And be patient also in terms of actually arriving at the New Jerusalem. If you're born again through faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to get there. And nothing's going to stop it. And so, as a result, we just need to be patient. I know it's difficult. I'm impatient. I'd like to go there today. But it may not be today. It may be tomorrow or next month, next year, on and on we go. Actually, next month is next year, isn't it? So anyway, we're going to get there. But let's first of all consider the glory, the radiance of this glorious city. We read on from verse 10 now and verse 11, "Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." And crystal clear, well, first of all, let's just talk about jasper, period. Jasper is a reddish stone under normal circumstances. I realize if you want to get technical, you can find different colors that the scientific people claim are the same chemical composition. They're still jasper, but normally, and we're going to see this in the text of Scripture, normally jasper is a deep red stone. And that is the color of the wall. I want to emphasize to you that the main reference here, until we get to the end of our passage, the main reference is to the wall, not to the city itself. So everything that we're talking about up to this point has to do with a wall that surrounds the city. And the wall by itself is glorious. It has a radiance of this reddish stone, jasper, and we are told that it is crystal clear jasper. Now, everything that I've looked at, and you understand I'm not an expert on gemstones, so I can only pass along what I've read and what I've seen illustrated. I have never seen crystal clear jasper, and I suspect no one ever has, because it doesn't exist in this earth in which we're living. There are certain things that are true of the glory that is coming that are not true anywhere else, and we're going to see some of them even today before we're finished. But it's the glory, not of the city itself at this point, but of the wall. Now, you may ask, why is there a wall at all? Because isn't a wall designed to keep people out or keep things in? Or, you know, it's got something that implies that there's a danger here. Well, that is what we're looking at next, the security that this wall gives. I could, if my wife would let me, but I have to ride home with her later, and so I'm going to avoid giving you a long history lesson here. In fact, I'm not going to give you a history lesson at all. But walls in ancient times were the security for cities. Sometimes the wall even buttressed the city. We don't have any indication that that's true here, but in ancient times it was a security for the city. But what we're looking at here is the glory of this crystal clear red wall. Something totally beyond our comprehension, and yet it is so described. And that brings us to the issue of the security of the jasper wall. I was tempted to change the final song, the closing hymn for today, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It'll be too confusing. And furthermore, I can use hymn number 499 in your hymn book for next Sunday's closing hymn. It will fit excellently. But if you'd like to read ahead, and by the way, if you do take a look at that hymn in our book, it's got five stanzas to it. I'm not going to make, even next Sunday, I'm not going to make you sing all five stanzas. All right. But there are some wonderful truths that the hymn writer included in that. And one of them has to do with this jasper wall. The fact that one day we are going to be inside the jasper wall. And so here is a wonderful sense of security that we have. Let's look at verse 12 and following. It had a great and high wall, that's the jasper wall, and it's a description of Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down, but this city has a great and high wall around it. Now, hold on to that thought about how high the wall is, because we'll come back to it before very long. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names are written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east and 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. So this is this wall has a lot of gates in it. And the gates are described for us, and they're important. The wall, this is verse 14 now, the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. Now, take note, it says the wall of the city. It doesn't say the city, the wall of the city. We're still just talking about this marvelous jasper wall. And so the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so here is the description of this jasper wall, but the whole point here is that the wall represents security. It would in ancient times. In fact, in ancient times, a city without a wall around it was an open city. They had no protection from invading armies, from raiders. And again, if time and your patience permitted, I could give you examples from the Bible as well as from secular history, but there's no need for that. The point is that the wall gave people a sense of security. It would to the original readers of the book of Revelation roughly 2,000 years ago. They would know that because this city had a wall surrounding it, that, and it was a great and high wall. So again, I ask you to keep that in mind because we're going to get a measurement in a moment. And I believe it has to do by this context with how high the wall is, not with how thick it is, but how high. But we'll come to that in a moment. The point is that an ancient reader would understand that this city, which we haven't had a good description of yet, but this city is secure. And that's true of your eternal destiny. That's the application here. Your destiny is secure. Nothing can change this. Nothing can alter it. And so, with that in view, we take a look at the immensity. This is our third stopping point. The immensity of this city. This is a real place. I hope we made that clear in the previous message. We're not talking about some fantasy world that's poetic description of people floating around on clouds or something. This city is a real place, just like the new heavens is a real place, and the new earth is a real place as well. But this city is a real place. Well, how big is the wall? How big is the city? We've been talking about the wall. Let's talk about the city just a bit. So we read in verse 15, and we're going to be looking through verse 17. And let me read all these and then come back. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gate and its wall. Everything is being measured with this gold measuring rod. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. So this city and the wall that surrounds it are immense, but at this point we are measuring everything with a gold measuring rod. Now, measuring things with rods was typical. I'm told that when the architects of the great pyramids at Giza laid out those pyramids, they did so with rods. I doubt they were made of gold. But they did so with these measuring rods, and they were so exact that the pyramids are as perfect as mere humans could make them. And so, this is the type of measurement that's going on, but it's made with a gold rod. And by the way, everything here is precious, isn't it? A gold measuring rod. I've got tape measures at home. Sometimes I'm accused of having too many of these, but you know, none of them are made of gold. And I've got, because I'm old-fashioned, I've got folding rules. Anybody here remember what a folding rule was? Sometimes they'd be, you unfold them, they're 6 feet long, and occasionally you might have one that was longer, and all this sort of thing. Well, I've got all those, and you know, they're amazingly accurate, but they're just wood. They may have some metal caps on them and that sort of thing. Nothing like a gold measuring rod, I can assure you. So the city, and take note, the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. Now, if you want to argue with me about whether or not this thing is pyramidal shaped or cubic shaped, find somebody else to argue with. I don't care, really. But everything in the text indicates that it's a cube. And if it's a cube, and I believe it is, do you know what the dimensions of this thing add up to? I couldn't wait on anybody to do this. I had to do it myself. I just had to know. It is 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. 3,375,000,000 cubic miles. Do you think there'll be enough room for all of us? I do. Even if, and I maintain, as I told you earlier in this series, that the New Jerusalem is the home of the church age saints, not the saints before the church or even those after the church is completed, but just those between Pentecost and the rapture of the church. And if I'm correct about that, and I'm confident that I am, the point is here, there is going to be enough room for all of us. But if I were wrong, and every redeemed person who's ever lived ends up having the New Jerusalem as their home, there's still going to be enough room for all of us. Oh, and by the way, you know, I know that, and we've discussed this before in this series, I know very well that the term translated mansions in the gospel account means a dwelling place, really an apartment, basically. And yet, I still like the word mansion. And when you consider the size of this city and the glory of it, and we've just touched on the glory of the city at this point, when you consider all this, I don't think mansion is too strong a word here. I believe it's going to be a mansion. And each one of us is going to have plenty of room. We are not going to be banging elbows with each other, unless we want to. I trust that the day will come. I mean, after all, we've got all eternity to talk together. Will we encounter one another? I think I've mentioned somewhere, if not to this group, to another group. You go to the opening chapters of John's Gospel, and there are some people there I want to talk to. I want to talk to Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel. I want to talk to Nicodemus. I want to talk to the woman at the well, whose name I don't know yet, but I want to know it. I want to meet that gal. She is a remarkable woman, deeply spiritual. All these people are deeply spiritual. You know, I've got a lot of deeply spiritual people right here in front of me, but there are others besides you and besides me. And so I want to meet all these people. Now, it's just like the old hymn says, and I agree, and this is entirely true, I want to meet my Savior, first of all. But I don't want to meet Him alone. In other words, with eternity in front of me, I think that there will be time for us to talk with one another. Don't you enjoy doing that here? I do. I love to hear people's testimonies of how they got saved and what's happened to them since. And on we could go. And I love to hear those. I never get tired of it. But I don't think I'm going to get tired of it in eternity either. So, you know, get ready, because when we get there and time permits, I'm going to sit you down and ask you, tell me all about it. You know, how did you come to Christ? And with many of you, I know many of the details already, but probably not all. Not all of the details, all of the issues. So I want to know it all. And we have this immense city to occupy us. And it's, as I've said before, but I want to keep emphasizing this, the New Jerusalem is your home forever. It's not your prison. You're not confined there any more than you are in your home right now. You go, after we're done here this morning, you're going to go home, you're going to have dinner, you're going to, I hope a lot of you will be back tonight, but the point is, even if not, the whole issue is that you can go home, you can spend the day, the remainder of the day, as you desire, as the Lord leads you to do, and you're not in prison when you go home. You're not in prison in that home either. We have a great heaven and earth to explore. And so, again, back to our text. The city was laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. And what about this wall? See, we've talked about the city, but we're still talking about this fascinating wall that indicates our security in Christ. Well, what does he tell us about the wall? It's 72 yards, and we take note that verse 12 told us it had a great and high wall. I believe it refers to the height, not the thickness of the wall. Not that that would be impossible, but based on the context here, I think it's talking about the height of the wall. Now, 72 yards is a wall over 200 feet high. If you ever fell off a 200-foot height, I mean, even if you fell into water, You would be hurt. There's just no getting around it. When I think about this, I think about the peak of our house, where we live right now. It's 1/10 the height of this wall. If I fell off the peak of our house, number one, I probably wouldn't survive it. Number two, even if I did, I would be badly hurt. And it's only 1/10, less than 1/10, the height of this wall. It's a great and high wall, over 200 feet high. Now, that's nothing compared to the size of the city, but it nevertheless represents an immense wall that is about our security. But having told us all this wonderful truth concerning the wall, and we could keep on going, I'd love to do so, but we need to bring this to a conclusion, and that's our fourth and final stop, the purity of this city. The glory, the security, the immensity of the city and the wall, and now the purity. Verse 18. And the material of the wall was jasper. We've already read that, but in case you didn't get it, I want to say it again. The material of the wall, notice it's not a reference to the color at this point, it's the material. The material of the wall is jasper. And as I said earlier, people have, for many years, centuries, known what jasper stones were, but no one ever made a wall out of this material. God does. God does. But look further in verse 18. And the city was pure gold like clear glass. Now, I think I've mentioned here before, I have a gold wedding band on my finger, and it's a beautiful wedding band. It used to be different than it is now, but over the years, some of it has abraded away. But the point is that it is a beautiful piece of gold, and yet it's not clear. I can't see through it. Nobody could. But this city is made of clear gold. Now, you may immediately say, well, wait a minute, you mean people are going to be able to see through this city? And yeah, they are. Why, have you got something to hide? Well, I will tell you this, I've got something to hide now. There are things about me that I'm glad you don't know. Nobody knows except my Savior. I can tell you this, and without qualification, I am what the Bible describes as a person with a sin nature, vile and wretched in the sight of a holy God. But God sees me in Jesus Christ, and that's all the difference in the world. That's all the difference in the world. But here is the point. When I get to this place, there won't be anything left for me to be ashamed of, because I'm going to be transformed into His, Christ's, image. Jesus Christ has nothing to be ashamed of, and I won't either, because I will be like Him. That's what my Bible tells me, that the day is coming when I am going to see Him face to face, and we don't know what we're going to be like, but we do know this much: when we see Him, we shall be as He is. And being as He is, there's nothing to hide in the city of gold. And yes, it is a place to which we are going. And take note again, the city was pure gold like clear glass. No one's ever seen anything like that. No one's ever seen gold so pure that you could just see through it. But God is making an entire city that way. And by the way, may I tell you one more time? This city that is pure, see-through gold is 3 billion and more cubic miles. And so, we have a security. We have an immense place. We have this purity, so pure that you can just see through it. That's the glory that is coming and is awaiting you and me, every one of us who has put their trust in Jesus as their Savior. Have you? Are you sure?